looking in Daniel chapter 6. And I'm looking at a man that did not care what other people thought about him. Can I say this? As a Christian, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. In case you didn't hear the first two times. Don't raise your hand. For all the Christians in here tonight, oh, happy day it will be in your life when you don't care no more what everybody else thinks about you. I'm talking about as you live your Christian life. As you pursue walking with Jesus, you will sit back and you'll say, oh, happy day, oh, happy day, when Jesus washed their voices away. You'll be so glad, because there ain't nothing that I can think of in my life more stressful, more aggravating. Now you can help me. You can say amen right through here anywhere if you want to, when I get finished, so you'll understand. More discouraging than knowing that you've always got to deal with somebody else thinking you ought to be doing different. Anybody got any family? Anybody got any friends? Nothing is more exciting to a young man than whenever he's able to go down and purchase his first new to him, vehicle. I mean, I figured that's about the nearest shot I'm going to get out of you anyway. Amen. I'll take that. Ethan liked to... took a laugh up in the balcony, but there ain't much room up there. But that was close, so thank you. It's exciting. I mean, to think that now I own a vehicle that I've never owned one. My first vehicle, I didn't work 5 miles away from where I live, and I had an hour from lunch, so I went home from work every day and washed my car. You said, now that's just crazy. Well, some of y'all just as fanatical about yours. Jeremy got a Tesla. I mean, did I say it wrong? I said it right? Okay. Is it Tesla? Some people just learn to put up with whatever I say, and because they know they ain't going to help me. And I saw that thing driving around out here in the parking lot right beside by itself. And then he got a wax job put on it that costs more than I don't know how many cases of wax you can, but it's not regular wax. It's the ceramic coating, right? I probably need to do that to my vehicles too. No, you got it. Hello. I love you. But you know, that thing was just so nice, but still as nice as it was to me. I mean, Alan, it was black interior, just as smooth, not a tear, nowhere. A canary yellow. You could see your face in this car whenever you walked past it. Can you believe that there were still people that said, I want to shoot them. I mean, if all you can say is just, about somebody's first car, they want to shoot you. Come on down to the front row. That's going to help you all night long, and you're going to help me. Why would you want to hurt somebody that's happy with what they got? Hello, King Daniel, here he is, and he's got a God that he loves. He ain't looking for another. We'll start reading. We're going to read several places and kind of skip around. So if you want to stand up, you can stand up. If you want me to, I'll wait till we get to a certain place. And I tell you what, let's just stand and we'll read our main verse, and then we'll go back and forth. We'll try to hurry. I've set myself a time limit. Is anybody happy about that? You happy about that? Happy about that? Anybody else over here? Two. You might have been raising your hand all night long. Ethan, raise it again. Amen. I know those people over here is. Jonah. Yeah. Y'all know when a trick question comes up, don't you? Amen. Well, Daniel chapter 6. Let's just read verse 21 and the first part of verse 22. And we'll go back and we'll bring it all down to this. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Is everybody in here tonight knows this story? This story is about a man named Daniel that got cast into a lion's den. Okay, that's good. I'm glad that not everybody knows, because that makes me feel good, really. The first time you get to hear something like this in this church, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. He said, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me. Wow, what a testimony. From the midst of the lion's den, in the midst of the lion's den. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight, Lord. We love you, and we sure thank you for loving us. God, help us to be like Daniel. I really appreciate him. I appreciate what we've read about him. I appreciate the fact that, Lord, he took a stand on what he believed, and he didn't let King Darius change one way of his beliefs. Help us to stand as Daniel stood. Help us to be encouraged to walk with you and to talk with you and to serve you and to love you and to be faithful to you. Not to waver, but God, to march on towards Zion. Help us, I pray, this night. Bless each one that's here. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated, and thank you so much for standing. You know, in the beginning of the chapter 6, King Darius, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these, three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. The main president. It says that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. Can I pause right here and remind you, as we go through this story about Daniel, every bit of his operation, every bit of his words, everything that he rejected was done with the right spirit. He wasn't ugly. He wasn't boisterous. He didn't go. The king, let me remind you, the king didn't believe like Daniel. And Daniel didn't waste his time. So I can see already this ain't helping y'all. You got your YouTube playing over there. I see you. I'm looking at you. He didn't go to the king and say, "King, you're on the wrong track. I'm here straightened out." No. You know what Daniel did? Daniel just served his God. He stayed with his God. He stayed with his God because he had the right spirit. The Bible says this. Then the presidents, verse 4, and princes who sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. You know what they had no complaints with? His spirit. You know, when you get, have you ever been around somebody with a foul spirit? A bad spirit? I have. I've been around folk that, I hate to use the terminology Christians, because I hate to think about a Christian having a foul spirit. I hate to think of a Christian that's not kind. I hate to think of a Christian that would be just the opposite of what we read about the fruits of the Spirit being in the book of Galatians. But I think of someone with a kind spirit. I think of someone with the right spirit. I think about somebody that's got a focus on God and nothing else. Let me tell you what happens when that, Brother Tracy, when that focus leaves and drifts away to something else, most of the time we'll see through the Bible that it's pointing at a man. Wrong spirit, wrong God. And so now as we look at this and we think about how that King Darius is, he's a president, he's a king, he's a man that's in charge, and these men, you say what you want to. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I think. Don't be mad at me, okay? What I think the problem is right here, Brother Gary, there's men that's under Daniel that wanted Daniel's job. Can I tell you this? Has anybody in here ever got somebody else's job and after you got it, you wish you didn't have it? I have. I'll never forget, Sister Lori, when I took this church, and I've told this a lot of times, my office was straight back where that little, the flower arrangement is on the table back there, and I'd sit in that office, and I didn't know what all was going on. I knew there's trouble in the church. Let me say this, when there's trouble in the church, when there's trouble in the church, if it's trouble, wouldn't you venture off out there in some real deep water with me and say, it ain't of the right spirit? It's differences, it's confusion. No, it's trouble. It's trouble. It's trouble. Now, there's a way to handle trouble, and there's a way not to handle trouble. And my way to handle trouble is I don't want to mess with it. I'd rather not have trouble to start with, but I really don't want to mess with it. It brings on chest pains. It makes you stressed out. It makes you think about early retirement. Amen. I'm being honest with you. But Glenn, it just makes you want to quit. We had trouble in the church. Brother John, I'd sit in that little old room and I'd look out there across that hallway where my dad, my previous pastor's picture was hanging up there, Brother Larry. I'm telling you, I don't know how many days I sat in that little office and I'd sit there and cry. Cry. Tears run down my face. I'd cry. And I know y'all think I'm psychotic. Y'all think I'm a crazy person, and that's okay. That's okay. I've been called so many things. Crazy would be a blessing to be called that. I'd sit in there and I'd cry and I'd look at that picture, and I'd say, man, I sure wish you had it back. You don't never ever read about Daniel getting in that condition. So it made me think that while I'm wrestling with what I was wrestling with during that time, that thing was so distracting to me. Somebody please help me a little bit anyway. It was so distracting to me that it was making me not have the right spirit. Because eventually what will happen to you when you get the wrong spirit, talk to my wife now, I'm pointing to her up there. If she got the wrong spirit and it caused me to want to argue back with her about whatever she's wanting to argue with, now I ain't got the right spirit. What's going to happen, Brother Leroy? It's going to make bad matters get worse. But Daniel just knew how to hang in there. Good night. What a man. Can I say it like this? What a Christian. You say, Jesus, I know. I'm just trying to make it where we can understand it. Somebody don't come up to me at church and say, Daniel wasn't a Christian, Jesus wasn't born yet. I know they will. I know somebody will. I know they will. Okay. Oh, for real? Man. Well, I'm sorry, church. I preached a message I didn't know nothing about. Well, people can sure enough. Oh, boy. I said, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel. We can't find nothing. He prays over the food. He respects the king. I mean, he's kind to other people. He's over these other presidents. They're over the princesses. I mean, he's a delegator with an A+. And everything that he says, let's do, all points back and gives glory to God. Would you not agree with me? Daniel probably needed a raise. I mean, Daniel, wow. I'd have wanted to pat him on the back. I really wanted to kneel down beside him and ask him to pray for him is what I really wanted him to do. But Daniel was more than just, he wasn't just a man. He wasn't just an average church member. He was somebody that made up his mind that when the fight comes, I'm staying with my God. Now, you know, if you're not careful, it's real easy to bail. It's real easy to bail. You might know what I'm talking about. It's real easy to bail. I heard the other day there was a football game. If it was your team playing, sorry. But I heard the other day there was a football game playing, and I don't even know what the team was or who it was or where it was, but one of the players of that team quit right after the game. Did anybody else hear about that? Was I just having a bad dream? Is it real? It did happen? Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, maybe I was dreaming. I don't know. So it really did happen. It really did happen. Just quit after the game. You know what he done? Bail. I knew a preacher one time that took a church, and he's in this church, and he'd been there for a month already, and he had to face the first confrontation, the first little squabble between Sister I Can and Sister You Can't. The first little description he had to face. He's been there 1 month. 1 month. 1 month. He'd been there. The first squabble broke out. He said, I feel like God's done with me here. He told me that. I said, are you serious? Are you really for real? You're serious? Yeah. He said, I can't take this kind of stuff. I said, you in the wrong. I said, this ain't the calling of God. And I'm going to tell you something. You better hear what I'm saying. The last thing I want, I pray, my prayer is every day, Brother Jeff, I pray I never see another church squabble in my life. Never. The Bible says, I got a verse for you. The Bible says, thou shalt not squabble. Now, you may have to write another Bible to get that one, okay? All right. I noticed people's liking to use other Bibles here recently. The world's just, I mean, it used to be. I remember when the RSV come out and that thing was just popular as crazy. And then NIV, then the new NIV, and then the ASV. And then the next thing you know, here comes the EESV or ESV or whatever it is. And guess what? After the ESV, guess what? Hello? There's always going to be another because there's always somebody that's looking to make some cabbage. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant cash. That's what it's all about. That's why they have copyrights. That's why you can't reprint them. Somebody's making money. Well, Daniel. Daniel. Some of you looking kind of peaked. Should have had supper. I've already went past my projected time. I was hoping I could make. Was there anybody in here that really believed that I was going to be able to do it? Anybody? Brother Danny, God bless you, brother. The most optimistic person in all the world. I love him. I love him. Maybe next time. I told Brother Jeremy one time, I said, Danny's got to be the most optimistic person in the world I've ever met. He said, way too much. Ain't nobody that optimistic. Way too much. I want you to see something. These guys, listen. You know what I found out? These men wanted Daniel's job. I hate to hear about squabbles, and I hate to hear about people trying to usurp authority. I was just talking to a preacher. I was just talking to someone the other day, and I forget who it was I was even talking to now. I think, Faith, wasn't you with me whenever I was talking about this? And Brother Ron, might have been Brother Ron. I don't know. Might have been Brother Darnell. It could have been anybody. Could have been Sister Molly. John Owen, whoever. Might have been Brother Danny. A man had went to a church. A missionary had went to the church. And when he went to that church, now listen close. Was it you? You're looking at me. Was it you or something? Okay. This man went to this church, and one of the deacons walked by the church, walked by the man's car while the missionary is unloading his stuff. And he seemed, it was you I was talking to? That's right. And the deacon looked in the trunk of the man's car and saw some books from a preacher that guy didn't like. And, he's a deacon. And he asked him, he says, you like him? You stood behind him? He said, they need no need you to unload your stuff out of the car. You ain't preaching here tonight. The deacon. Well, sounds to me like the deacon might have been wanting the preacher's job. Don't sound like you? Let me tell you what the deacon, let me tell you what the pastor's job. Look up here just a minute. I know we're so distracted, and it's already 10 after 8, and everybody's yawning. And I'm sorry for keeping you this long already. You ain't yawning, your belly's growling, and I know. I ate enough Chinese food at lunch today, I went back. It's his fault. Hold your hand up. It's his fault. Look how mad she is. Look at her. Shaking her fist at you. I listened to a preacher preach a message last night, and he was telling about a situation that happened in his church. And when you see people that want to usurp, want to take over, that's what these men wanted in Daniel's life. I'm honest. I've wondered over and over and over the times that my pastor stepped down. He appointed me pastor. That's the way it's been now for the last 24 years. It seems like it's worked okay. Been a few bumps in the road that almost put me in the ditch. But it's been all right. You know what I give credit? Of course, now we pray. We read the Word of God. But you know what I give credit to helping me these last 24 years more than anything? Well, yeah, we pray. We pray. We trust in God. We believe in the Lord. Trying to obey the Lord. But if anything ever come up that was an issue to me, and I thought for the church, I'd always seek wise counsel from older men. I'm 66. I've still got older men that I seek counsel from. I'm not of the Rehoboam age or mentality. You say, what is that? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible how he was told to seek counsel from the old men, and he listened to them and then said, no, I don't like that. And he went to those peers of his own age group. What it cost him. This man's preaching. Y'all come here. Come here. I'm going to use y'all, if you don't mind. Come on, Sister Mandy. You don't never get up and be an example in church. I might well make you a good, but you'll probably be the last time I get you up here. There was a man. He's praying over here for you or something. I don't know. This man's preaching. Now listen real close what happened. This man's preaching, and he's talking about a family that was in his church. This family had an 18-year-old boy, just graduated high school, a good kid, a good boy, never got in trouble, great grades, just as far as they was concerned. He said, even me myself considered him a model young man. He says, and then one night after graduation and everything, and he was off with some friends of his, and one of the guys, not him, but one of the guys that was driving the vehicle they were in, got in a wreck, had a little Toyota pickup truck, back when they was little, and a two-seater. And that boy run off the road, and when he snatched it to go back up on the road, it threw this other guy out. And they said when they got to the hospital, and said this boy's head was four times the size of a normal head. He said, and I'm standing beside the casket. He said, I'm standing between mom and dad. He says, and I got my hand on dad. And he says, and I got my hand on mom's shoulder. And mom's a Christian. And dad's cussing God while we're standing there. He says, and I thought, he's doing what a lost man would do. Because he don't know no better. And mom's over there crying and praying and asking God. to do something because they're fixing to unplug. And when they did, they was hoping that that ill man would carry on his own. He said, as soon as they unplugged that machine, in just a matter of a minute or two, he said, I watched him. He said, that mom holding his hand, that dad holding his hand, and I watched him exhale his last breath. And that mom's weeping and saying, God help me. And that man standing there cussing. Thank you. He said, the following Sunday morning, I seen something happen that just blew me out of the water. He said, that family, the whole family came to church. The whole family. The whole family. Mom, dad, brother, other family members come in. Said they sat on the second and third row. And said when they did, they sat down. He said that mom says, can I say something? He said, yeah. She said, I just want to say, I love the Lord. She said, and I also want to say, He does all things well. Now, who wants that pastor's job? Who wants that pastor's job? Say, you ever had times like that, Brother Edward? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The family that my dad said will not leave, that they'll be here while you're here, son, are sitting in the balcony tonight. And if you ain't never heard a mama pray that believes her son's fixing to die, or a daddy pray that believes her son's fixing to die, you know nothing about pastoring. Can I ask you this? With Daniel knowing what his job was, why did those other governors, those princes, why did they want to try to change Daniel? What made them think they wanted his job? They wanted his job. But you know what they didn't know? They didn't, Brother Allen, they didn't know that his job was fixing to go to the lion's den. It takes more than just a half-hearted vision to say, I want a pastor. When my pastor first asked me about pastoring, you know what I told him, Brother Allen? I said, no way. Brother Gary, when he told me, he said, son, I want you to pray about this now, about you pastoring this church. I said, nope, no thank you. I said, I like going down there to the jailhouse. I got friends down there. I'm telling you, get to heaven and ask him. I said, me and them just alike, they got caught and I didn't. Sonny Talbert told me walking down this highway one day, he said, Brother Edward, you'll pastor this church one day? I said, no, sir, brother. I said, I'm down there at the jailhouse. He said, but God will change your heart. And he did. He checked on me this morning. I don't know how I was doing. He's still my friend. So now the king, Darius, has got to do something to get rid of Daniel because the pressure's on him. But he ain't of the same spirit. Verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writings and the decree. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt down his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had aforetime. Don't it seem to you like he'd have prayed and said, Lord, trouble's coming and I'm worried. They're going to want to kill me. It says that he gave thanks. Could it be he's given thanks because he knows God does all things well? Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. And they went and told the king. Verse 13, the Bible says that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree which thou hast signed. It's gone from this. Are you listening? That king that was fretting, that king over Daniel that wasn't worried about nothing, knew Daniel was a good man, knew Daniel was of the right spirit, but now he also knows there's jealousy among these other people, but they conned him into making a decree. You say, what happens right there, brother? Here's what happens. The battle gets so big that you just get tired of fighting it. That's why people quit. And you know what I wish I could see in here tonight? I wish I could see some people that would say, you know what? I'm telling you right now, preacher, God given me strength. I'm burying my stake deep into the service of the Lord. I may not always be perfect. I might not always do the right job. I might not always say the right thing. But I just want to go on record and say, I'm a Christian, and that's all I ever want to be. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a good church member. I want to help the preacher. I ain't going to have no decrees written up to try to hurt the man of God. There was a day, this ain't no kidding now. I know Bo Gerald, you go to the Catholic Church. I don't know how they work there. But there used to be a day in the Baptist church that if you said something bad about the preacher, you almost had other men to fight. I knew some. There were some of them preachers out there from Jack Wood's old church out there at Shady Acres, where Brother Gary Lutrich's from, Brother Dan Meadows from. You'd have said something bad about Brother Jack, Brother Gary, you'd have had to whip some of them boys. I mean, it would have been on. Back in the early days, when Dr. Ruckman had the school going, it was just him and them young men, Alan Ryman. Alan's crazy. You'd have had to whip Alan. You'd have talked bad about Mark McGahee. You'd have had to whip Mark. There's a man said something about his pastor one time, David Wood. I'm just telling you how it used to be. What's happened is what I want to, I think, what I think's happened. I think a lot of church members have signed a decree. So this little old doper one time said something about Brother David Wood, and Brother Mark told me, he said, hey, boy, you're talking about my pastor. And he said something to him, and he went for him. And Brother David grabbed him and said, Mark. He'll sue you. He'll sue the church. And at that moment, Mark didn't care. But I'm just saying, there used to be a time of respect, of honor. Why didn't they? You know what old Darius has done? He's got himself in a pickle. He don't know how to get out of this. And the battle's so great because all them men are behind him and they're against Daniel. And now, so here's what he wants to do. He said, you know what? To make this thing end quickly, it'll be over with. The best thing to do is just put him in the lion's den, let the lions eat him, and it'll be over with. But there's still a problem. because this ain't just a man, Brother Danny. This is God's man. All them people that were so glad to be able to take that man, Daniel, and throw him. You've read the story. I know you have. If you haven't, you need to read it. And throw him in that lion's den. How many of you remember what happened after Daniel was taken out? The men that threw him in? And their families all got cast into the lion's den. You know what happened? They was messing with God's man. And God's man had the right spirit. And he loved people. And he loved sinners. Get this. When Darius asked him, "Hey Daniel, you still alive?" You know, if I'd have been there, you know what I said? "I am. But I wish you was in here, they didn't use you." That's probably what I said. Don't cast that stone, that'd be okay. Not Daniel, because Daniel was of the right spirit. You know what he said? "O King, live forever. Live forever. O King, I hope you have eternal life. O King, I hope you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. O King, I hope you never get cast into hell where you have to burn for eternity as a lost man." He had the right spirit. He just wanted that king to live forever. You know what I want? I want to see people live forever. I want to see people have the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, the zeal that comes with salvation. Daniel could have been ugly, could have been mean, could have been mad. But you know what? I believe Daniel remembered something. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always." The Lord said in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." He said, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths." The desire that Darius had, the spirit that Darius had, the want that he had, there'd been nothing left. I read this. I don't know if there's anything true about it, but it does us good to read stuff. When someone was cast into a lion's den, they'd starve them for a couple of days. And they said, on this average note, they'd have 7 lions in that den. Now you tell me, 7 lions, 1 man. What kept him alive? Nothing but the Lord. He said, "My God has sent his angels and has shut their mouths." I just wonder, did King Darius, of course you know how he exalted, I wonder, did he just break down, weeping and crying, and saying, "Thank you, Lord." Now he's able to pray. Storms, I don't wish them for nobody, but storms will help you to pray. Troubles will help you to pray. If you've never had none, I doubt. John Owen, he's 15. Excuse me, I'm sorry. 16. And how many months? 3, okay. I doubt he's had any kind of troubles like what Mom and Dad's had. But they'll come. Josiah probably has not had any kind of troubles like what you've been faced with. These girls probably ain't seen no kind of trouble, Sister Pearl, like what you have experienced in your life. And we could go on to every family and their children. But one day, troubles will come. They're going to come. They're going to come. You better hope you know an older person that can help you in those times. I know we pray and I know we ask God and I know we tell the Lord, but it ain't nothing like an older preacher, an older sister from the church just patting you on the back and saying, "I just want you to know I've been through this. And I'll be here with you if you need me." All you've got to do is just say, "I need you. And I'll be here with you if you need me." And have that right spirit. And you'll be another Daniel. You'll be another trooper, another soldier of the cross. I say, let's do that. Camden Baptist Church, let's do that. Can we do that? Can we just make up our mind? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a Daniel. I'm going to stick in, drive stakes deep. I'm going to be for real. Not a passerby. I'm going to be for real. I ain't looking for the preacher's job. I don't think nobody here wants that. You see enough already that you don't want. Well, maybe one. Two. I'm sorry. Let me help you with that. Thank you. Those men wanted his jobs, but only one of them would have got it. But it would have come down to more than just that. If it come down to one of them getting it, it would have come down to somebody. Are you listening? Somebody would have had to go behind somebody's back and say something to hurt somebody. And they'd all died with the wrong spirit. Aren't you glad that God just kept Daniel where he should have been? Amen. Well, let me leave you with this. I love you. I appreciate you. And I hope that you want to walk out of here and be a Daniel. And if you do see a lion, Ashlyn said she saw a panther on the road the other night. Don't jump out of the car and try to pet him. Amen. Leave them alone, Tyler. We have panthers. Y'all had wildcats, didn't you? Amen. Same thing. Takes the same size bullet to take them out. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together.